ओम ज्ञान क्लीनंदस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलकाया चक्षुर्निदितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपपदामयीहं दधाति सर्वदा। I just thought of something. What happens if I put this desk in front of me? Why don't, let's try to do that and see what happens, because I'm always reaching over here to get something.
No tables connected to it?
No tables connected. Let's see how this works. Now we've swam in the first wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, an overview of devotional service, Samanya Bhakti, and now we're beginning the second wave, in which we'll find out about Sadhana Bhakti, devotional service and practice, and that will keep us busy for 15 chapters. In today's chapter, chapter 2, we'll find out about the first stages of devotion. Srila Prabhupada begins by mentioning that there are three categories of devotional service. Which are? Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Deva Bhakti. And here, Dhanadhara Maharaj, in his study guide, offers useful insight into what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. Prabhupada says, in practice, there are two qualities. In devotion, in ecstasy, four qualities. In love of God, had six qualities. And all you can really do is say, okay. But you don't really know what they are, what they correspond to. But when you look in waves of devotion, Dhanadhara Maharaj very usefully amplifies or examines or offers some insight into what Srila Prabhupada is discussing here. And that is that in sadhana bhakti, the first two of the characteristics that we talked about yesterday appear. That is, kleshagni and shubhata. So the miseries disappear and all auspiciousness appears. Then in bhava bhakti, the next two qualities come. Moksha Laghuta Krit and Sudurlabha. It makes the happiness of liberation look like a fig, and it's rare, rarely achieved. So now in Bhava Bhakti you have those two additional qualities added to the original two. And now we're going to add two more for a total of six in Prema Bhakti, Sandrananda Visheshatma and Sri Krishna Akarshan. Intense happiness, and it's so wonderful that it attracts Krishna. So that amplifies the statement. Two qualities, four qualities, six qualities. Any questions about that? Okay. Now Srila Prabhupada is going to discuss the qualification for practicing devotional service. And he says that a devotee is, that devotional service is a continuous practice from one's previous life. That it really depends upon one's natural taste or attraction for devotional service. I'm attracted, I have a taste for it, so I do it, and then I advance more, and I get more taste, and before we get there, so it's a continuous practice from our previous life. In Bhagavad Gita, where do we find this? Remind me your name?
Panchatattva.
So it's in the sixth chapter. Krishna says, about the fallen yogi, prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashpati sama shuchinam srimatam gehe yoga prashtavis. He goes to the heavenly planets, he gets all this super happiness for a while, then he comes back down to earth. He's born either in a prosperous family or in a Brahmin family. Atava yoginam eva kule pavati pimatam etati durlabhaktaram loke janma. Or if he's really fortunate, if he's practiced yoga to a greater extent in his previous life, he may take birth in a family of transcendentalists. Tatra tam buddhisam yogam labhate porvadehika yatate jatato bhuya sangsito kurunandam. Then in that life, labhate porvadehika, he picks up the consciousness of his previous life, the tendency that he had in his previous life, and he makes further progress and finally reaches perfection. Purvabhya senatenaiva kriyate hya avasho pisaha. Avasha means automatically, or it's not under his control. Vasha means it's under control. Avasha means he's got no control over it. Somehow or other, he's just attracted to this thing. Jigyasur. He is inquisitive about it. Api yogasya shabda brahmati vartati. Prayatna jitamanastu. By his endeavor, yogi samshuddha kilvisha. He becomes freed from all, completely freed of all sins. Aneka janma sansita. Having perfected himself after many, many births, tato yati prabhata. Finally he goes back to that. So this is the picture. So it's a multi-life process. One gets to engage in devotional service on account of his previous devotional service and continue the job. But what's the problem?
There's the beginning.
And where do you start? It's like a no entry. It all depends on your previous progress. Then? Yes, by the causeless mercy. Remind me your name. Right. Right. Hardest name in the class. Forgive me. At least for me. Cedric. Not a common American name. Not a common Bengali name. Not a common Cedric. Common European name. It depends on getting the mercy of a pure devotee. How do you get the mercy of a pure devotee?
By rendering service.
Well, by rendering service, how do you...
Inquiring,
what would make you do that?
Approaching service.
Why would I render service to a pure devotee? That if I want his mercy, that means I've already started the process. I must have some previous devotional credit to want a pure devotee's mercy.
Yeah,
Right? If I think I got to get the mercy of, you know, like these people around here, that, you know, they want to get the mercy of a pure devotee. Why? Because they know something about the process. They're already ahead. Agyata Sukriti. Somehow or other. You don't know what you're doing, but somehow or other you render some service to a devotee. Or a devotee approach. Could you do something for me? Yeah, sure. What can I do for you, Joe? He doesn't know. There was a comment here. Yes?
My thought was that because the devotee is preaching.
That's the other side. One side is just out of good luck. You might think, you know, oh, this person looks like he doesn't know where he's going. Maybe, sir, could I help you? You know, just somehow or other, you don't know what you're doing, but you render some service. And the other side is a devotee is preaching, so he's consciously thinking, maybe I could get this person to, you know, help put together this Ratha-yatra card. Jayanandi, he's always famous for that, picking up some, you know, bum or non-bum, somebody who was there. Listen, could you help me out? That means, could you engage in devotional service? What is that? That's causeless mercy. The devotee is just out of his goodness. Prabhupada gave an example to Bhavananda, the causeless mercy. He says, like somebody has some money, just pushes it on. Take this money. Take this money. Example? Where have we seen this? The Shastra?
Narad
Muni. What happened?
He helped his mother to serve. Actually, mother went away, so he helped to serve his souls.
He helped his mother serve some great souls. And along the way, he was hearing, and he got a little Mahaprasada. And next thing you know, he's Narad Muni. Okay. Now, then Prabhupada makes a very important statement that Krishna consciousness is that for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. First of all, this gives us some help here in understanding what's going on. We see that sometimes someone has been in a movement for like years and years and years, and he's like just hanging in by the skin of his teeth. Right? He's kind of, how is this guy still here? And sometimes some new bhakta, practically speaking, new guy, and he's like way ahead. You know, he's way ahead just from day one or from, you know, day 10 or something. Way ahead. Or getting up early in the morning and chanting and hearing and memorizing verses and rendering service, and what can I do for you, Prabhu? You know, while some old devotee is like criticizing and stewing and, you know, flaking out and, you know, so what? Why is it? Why is it? According to this explanation.
In order to stay a little more up, the person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service can be classified by his particular taste.
Yeah. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean?
Actually, the more taste you have, the more advancement is brought from the last life.
Yeah. It means that new guy who's like way out ahead of everybody was way ahead from his previous life. And the person who's like just, you know, he just came in the door and he's struggling, and he's then you check in 15 years later, he's still struggling. You know, he just didn't make that much progress to begin with. He's not following so seriously now. It's, you know, it's just not, he doesn't have the same credit. So, you know, the guy came up from behind in the fast line and just passed right past, right by him. Because he already had that from his previous lives, and now he's picking up from where he left off. He had 80%, so he's picking up from 80%. The other person had 40%, so he's picking up from 40%. But they both have the opportunity, Prabhupada makes that clear, that even if there's no continuity, one can be accepted and you can advance in devotional service. Yes?
You gave like the, in terms of this kind, you said like a new devotee and then another one. And so if we're discussing that, then what about, see, I mean, there's no, you know, like Mahaprabhu's movement wasn't in the Western countries. So either these people were in India practicing some level of devotional service, or else, you know, the other sort of major religions in the world also, the practice that one makes in those disciplines also could be
accepted.
Maybe. That's the question.
So, what's the answer?
Prabhupada did say something that those who are very enthusiastic loving Krishna consciousness movement in their previous life, they were brahmanas and they didn't go to assist in the preaching. He said something about this.
Yeah, but that's not his specific question. He's talking about guys, the non-Indian crowd, those who weren't from India in their previous births or anything, excluding India, right?
Yeah. We're asking, is it a possibility that, you know, making progress in these other...
Could you make progress without being in the Brahminical culture, without being in, you know, devotional service as described in the Vedic method? Answer is... Thoughts?
If Krishna gives the causeless mercy by himself.
Krishna gives causeless mercy by himself.
Very rare.
That's rare, okay. Is that the only hope?
Sometimes the dead souls, they can impart some scars, although they are not there.
Great. Souls impart some scars, although they're not there. What does that mean? What's that? What do you mean by that?
So, it's called that someone can take Krishna consciousness if he has some Krishna consciousness to involve. So, it means he has some numbers in his mind from his past that he got to this point.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if it's not possible by the mercy of the great soul actually for us, these things to be given by.
Yeah, no, but that we understand, that a person who's got no credit by causeless mercy can come up. But that's not Atul's question. Atul's question is, can you get credit? You know, you're talking about the person who's got no credit. Okay, we know. Even if you've got no credit or 10% credit, you meet a pure devotee, you can fill up your tank. Okay, that we understand. Now, but the question is, can I put some gas in my tank even if I'm not in the Vedic culture? You know, suppose I'm one of those guys out in Saudi, you know what? Or I'm one of those guys in some, you know, totally Christian place. Or maybe some atheistic state. Some weird place where there's no Krishna consciousness as we know it. Can a person get anywhere?
Well, a person can accumulate pious activities.
Can accumulate pious activities.
Bhavanam
janmanamante ganamam. Anything else? Yeah.
Also, the whole creation is created in such a way that when a person is intelligent.
Intelligent.
He can understand why it was created. He can make progress. Mm-hmm. So. For example,
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Okay. like he was he lived in the time of Christians, and he understood that all animals are his brothers, and all this. So Prabhupada explains that when we are intelligent, we can learn from the world,
from the creation.
Yes, from the creation.
Okay. Some other contribution?
People who are Christians now, man, devotees, what's better
than God? Love, love,
in this life, people who are born Christians, you know, so many people went to Catholic, you know, school or something, and then they became devoted. So, you know, they could have been really part of the Catholicism in their last life. And then it carries over, and then at a certain point, Krishna gives them a chance for, you know, something more.
Okay, so you're saying basically yes, you can make gardens.
Because there's some devotion.
There's some devotion.
What about the person?
You're raising another question. Let's see if there's more on this question. Yes.
Yeah, that was my point. It's also that there may be development of devotion in these different disciplines. Towards Allah, towards Jesus, and that may actually be the thing that Purva Vyasena, that actually may be, you know, that devotion that actually may be carried on.
And something's there. It may not be in a precise scientific process. Sometimes we find that people are following a path of devotion, but they're not, you know, even following basic regular principles. You know, they're praying to God and they're munching on, you know, terrible things. But something is there. We find that, yeah, something is there.
I was thinking about the Vedic culture was there before in every part of the world. So
Vedic culture is there before in every part of the world. Yet sometimes even Prabhupada would say that this is all within Vedic culture, because Veda means knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these different religions can be, in the broadest sense, considered to be within the Vedic culture. That's very broad, but we can be broad-minded sometimes and say yes, that it's also good. Mm-hmm. Loud! Loud, loud! Anyone who's not loud is going to fail.
Krishna consciousness is already in everyone's heart, covered by material conditions. Maybe we can develop some tendency to...
Well, that's the question. We know that it's already there in everyone's heart, but the question is, can it come out without this scientific process? Yes.
It can also be mini life aspect that will give some.
Yeah, but that's cheating. We know that if you were in the Vedic culture before and then you skipped a life. But his question is, you know, you didn't get that, right? You're adjusting this. You're adjusting the initial conditions. That's not fair. That's cheating. I'm not calling you a cheater.
I would like to come back to this example of Saint Francis, and actually make a statement in this chapter that the essence of all the rules and regulations and all the scientific process is actually to always think of Krishna and never forget him. And Saint Francis, he was like an outstanding example from the Christians, who was always in this consciousness of thinking of Krishna or thinking of God. And he even manifested some rasas, even to some stage, coming to Madhurya Ras, having like loving relationship with a girlfriend or with a in such a way.
Something in there's bridal Christianity and so on. So there's something. We may not equate it quite with our, you know, Radha Krishna loving dealings. Sometimes we find, anyway. But Prabhupada gave credit that Saint Francis was seeing all the living beings, even the animals, even the trees. So Prabhupada said this is Krishna consciousness. So you know, I'm not the final judge on the thing, and I don't have a lot of Prabhupada quotes on the subject. Sometimes Prabhupada would be dismissive, and sometimes Prabhupada would be inclusive. So we can be sometimes inclusive and sometimes dismissive, depending on the situation. Yes?
There's one statement actually where some devotees came to Prabhupada and told the story of Jean d'Arc and St. Francis, and Prabhupada said that's also Srimad Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
So the broader set of picture of Srimad Bhagavatam actually telling the, all relationships between the pure devotees and Krishna.
Yeah. In the broadest sense, this is also within Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, why Joan of Arc? You know, is there anything like Joan of Arc and Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada said, Joan of Arc is also, you know, that's also Srimad Bhagavatam. So again, that's a, you know, an inclusive view, which we can sometimes take. Yes?
I was thinking that devotional servant is cosmic, so it might be very well possible that somebody who's in the previous life never been in India or in contact with this very culture gets devotion.
Just it pops up one day? One day he... Yeah, from one point of view, if Krishna wants, anyone can become a devotee. But here we find that, you know, apart from some extraordinary circumstance where Krishna himself just, like, throws it, we expect that a person will become a devotee if he gets the mercy of the devotee. Otherwise, sure, Krishna can do anything. But this is what we might, this is what we're given to expect, that a person can become a devotee if he gets the mercy of the devotee. We don't, you know, find that like some kid in New York, all of a sudden, never heard of Hare Krishna, never got a book, never read anything, but all of a sudden, he shaves his head, puts on tilak, starts chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Could happen, you know, Krishna could just inspire him from within the heart. But we don't expect it. We expect that, oh, you must have met a devotee. You must have heard from a devotee. Yes. Your name again. Give me names.
Divya Prabhu.
Divya Prabhu.
There's another actually approach or another state, dismissive statement by Prabhupada where it says that it's better to be worshipper of Durga than Krishna.
Yeah, I'm not. I think I'm not going to go down that road of trying to chalk out our path on interreligious dialogue and so on. Otherwise, we're going to be spending, you know, change the name of the course and dedicate the next 15 lessons, because that gets to be an interesting one. What Prabhupada's views were in that regard. I think we'll press forward. Yes, a question.
I was thinking about this. So, if someone is practicing in the previous life, that means that he should have some, according to Bhagavad Gita, maybe if you, after this stage, work in a good family, or rich family, that gives you opportunities to have a spiritual life. Mm-hmm. We can see that in a lot of cases, in the devotees, we are not from the rich families. Or
Prabhupada said anyone in American Europe, they're coming from a rich family. Bulgaria?
Yes.
Bulgaria? Bulgaria is like heaven. No, the standard of living in, you know, any European country, very high. Very high. You know, even the East Bloc countries, former, you know what, they were former Soviet Union, still very high standard of living compared to so many other places. But even sometimes if we find someone may be born in a poor family, he may be born in an uneducated family, and still have credit. It's not that unless you were born in a Brahmin family or a Vaishya family, you must not have any credit from previously. You get Haridas Thakur. How much you know, what his situation must have been. And he appeared in a Muslim family. So this is, again, these are general principles. It's not that, no, you know, unless you appeared in this family, Krishna can do as he likes. Or a devotee for one or another reason might appear in, you know, Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, that was a prosperous family, Hiranyakashipu. But it wasn't a very pious family. He was born in a demonic family. But credit was there. Shall we push forward? Yes.
And what role play actually the honesty in this?
What role does?
Does play the honesty.
Does honesty play in this?
Honesty, yes.
What role does honesty
play? Sincerity.
Yeah, well, where do you get sincerity? What does sincerity mean?
Prabhupada says to follow the role of
Yeah, well, if you're not following the orders of the spiritual master, you know, you don't even have a spiritual master, does it mean you're not sincere? You never met a spiritual master?
Yes, this is one explanation of honesty.
Yeah, okay, but does that satisfy you? Is that what you were asking about? What's your question?
No, my question is that when we are at some level, but what we can do for our progress.
What we can do for our progress,
yes.
Ourselves. That we're going to find out in the next 15 chapters.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Yes.
We have found out, because Prabhupada is saying on page 98, he says persons who have a natural taste, and you mentioned also about Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the I think in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Swayabhati Ruchi. So, but what about Shraddha? Where does Shraddha fit in here? Shraddha. In the beginning, Adho Shraddha. I mean,
yeah, you can't have a taste unless you've got some confidence that this is good stuff. Bhakti Ruchi. You have to have some taste. But you won't have a taste unless you think, gee, this is interesting. Prabhupada sometimes translated Shraddha as interest. If you don't have an interest, you're certainly not going to have a taste. You know, food. You have an interest in going to, you know, such and such a restaurant? Yeah. Well, where's your taste? If you have a taste, you'll definitely have an interest.
And also the Shraddha, like the Rushi, like Rati, all this, yeah, the degree of the Shraddha, like the increment.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure that Rupa Goswami is using Ruchi there in a, you know, in that precise meaning. Or what it just means, you know, you gotta have a taste. Here we don't seem to be dealing with the, you know, those advanced levels of devotional service. But the point is, you have to have some taste for hearing and chanting. You have to have some attraction. Some attraction for hearing and chanting. And the more you have an attraction for hearing and chanting, the more it means, oh, you must have made progress and brought it with you. Prabhupada says it's easier for them than those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. Very important point. It's not how sharp you are. It's not, you know, because you are the head of your debating team. You've got like an edge on spiritual progress. Not that because you've studied all these philosophers, now you must be, you know, have a much better shot at it. The real thing is that somehow you have a taste. That means you're advanced. Not that you have, persons who have a taste, it's a disqualification. He has a taste for arguing, for logic, for taking a hair and splitting it into 14 pieces, and taking each piece and splitting it into some. You're tired, aren't you, today? Maybe. Take enough rest. You make me tired. You know, just look at you and get tired. You know, a person who wants to understand everything, he's got this, you know, great sense of of how sharp his tools are up here, and he's going to figure everything out. And it doesn't necessarily mean he's going anywhere. The simple person who just thinks, oh, this is so nice, oh, let me hear more, he'll make more progress than the person who's a great logician. Similarly, a person who's got, you know, a great taste for austerities, it doesn't mean he's going to... The real thing is to have a taste for hearing the chant. Prabhupada goes into quite a... it's not a long discussion, but it's a really significant discussion about the problem with this logical process. The Tarka Pratishtha, logic doesn't really get you to the truth. And we've seen, you know, you get these people, they'll argue and argue and argue, and logic and this and big words, and then still at the end of the day, they're nowhere. And Prabhupada makes the point that the history of philosophy is that one philosopher puts forward his thesis, the next philosopher accepts part of it but improves on it or defeats it, the next guy comes and says, yeah, that was alright, but here's the real story. I know when I was in high school, I think it was high school, maybe it was junior high school, someplace, anyway, when I was in school, I was so much looking forward to philosophy course that you get, you know, in the next grade up. And then I took the philosophy course, and I was so deflated. Because I, you know, I was really hoping I was going to find out something. And what I found out was that each philosopher is just, you know, flexing his ego and defeating the previous philosopher. That's what they were all about. You know, they do this, all this mental work, and the conclusion of it is to show how the other guy was wrong. Or at least where he, you know, hadn't gone far enough. You know, he missed this, he missed that. So, you know, that's what was going on. I thought, you know, this is just going to be infinite. Each one's going to defeat the next one, and the previous one, and he'll be defeated, he'll be defeated. There's no truth here. There's no true conclusion. And so I was like, it plunged me into despair. This is not going to get me anywhere. And that is the situation with philosophy. And they just talk and talk and talk and talk and argue and you know, no conclusion. Tarka Pratishtha. Therefore, the conclusion is Mahajana Yena Gatasapanta. One has to follow the footsteps of great devotees. Okay, now let's see where we are. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami is going to describe sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice. And he has a verse for that. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana bha nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam vridhi sadhita. The meaning is that the activity of the senses that brings one to or manifests the stage of perfection is called sadhana bhakti. Prabhupada explains that it means that there's some activity that I perform with my senses that arouses my natural consciousness. And here Prabhupada has an extended discussion. It's not that something is taught to you that artificially adds something to your life. But it's there and it uncovers it. What's the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Ah. Loud. Everyone knows.
Nitya Dina Krishna Prema Sadhya Kamadar Shadhana Shura Chitta Kaya Udaya.
Ah, that's it. And it's already there. Krishna consciousness is dormant in the heart of everyone. And by devotional service, starting with hearing, Shravanadi, and Adi means, and so on and so on. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta, the consciousness becomes purified and this devotional service awakens. It's not that something is taught to us externally. The whole purpose is to awaken the natural perfection. Then Prabhupada comments from Srimad Bhagavatam that essentially that the business of the spiritual master in bringing the devotee to Krishna consciousness is curing his madness. Nunam pramatta kurute vikam yadindriya prithyora apranoti. Everyone's like a madman. They're doing foolish things, means sinful things. Sinful means self-destructive, hurting themselves like a madman, full of illusion like a madman, thinking this is going to make me happy, that's going to make me, I have to do this, I have to do that. Oh no, this happened. Oh no, oh, no, the sky has fallen. You know, like a madman. Confused, bewildered, not able to do the normal things, doing crazy things. So he has to be cured. So there are some practices that cure him of this madness. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives the essence of this method. Tasmat kena upayena mana krishna niveshaye. This is 7th canto, 1st chapter, text 32. That Nard Muni mentions to King Yudhisthira, somehow or other one has to fix the mind on Krishna. Tasmat kena api upayena. Somehow or other. Prabhupada usually gives a gena kena prakarena. Same idea. Somehow or other, one has to fix the mind on Krishna. That's the essence of the thing. Somehow or other, savai mana Krishna parada dindiyo. Get this guy's mind fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the point. And Prabhupada tells us the main method for doing that. Come on, guys. That's it. Prabhupada says this has so much power, it immediately attaches one to Krishna. It's the beginning of sadhana bhakti. This is causeless mercy. As the devotees go out, they chant Hare Krishna, and people hear the mantra, and it starts sticking in their mind. So their mind is now on Krishna, because there's no difference between Krishna the name and Krishna the person. So their devotional service has begun. But it's a very powerful method of sankirtan. And once one gets serious about it, this chanting very quickly purifies the mind. Now Prabhupada points out that sadhana bhakti or devotional service in practice has two divisions. What are those two divisions? Vaidhi bhakti and raganuga. Right. Vaidhi bhakti is regulative devotional service, and raganuga is spontaneous. And Prabhupada gives a very nice example of the difference between the two. He says that in the beginning of deity worship, okay, the guru is ordered, I've got to get up early in the morning, got to attend the Mangal Arti, I have to put the dress on the deity, because the spiritual master has told him he's doing it. And that's good, he's doing it. But after doing it for some time, he starts to think, this is nice. And I could decorate the deity in this way, and I could get these kind of flowers, and I could get a new outfit, and I could... he starts thinking of so many different ways, not by mental concoction, but he becomes, in other words, enthusiastic. He It's no longer thinking, oh, I've got to get up. Mangalarti. Thinking, really want to get to Mangalarti. And lead or play kartals or has enthusiasm. He has enthusiasm. It's spontaneous. It's not anymore, well, I don't really want to go, but I got to go. Now it's, I really want to go. Even if he doesn't have to go, he wants. Just Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, Haridas Thakur? Yeah, you don't have to chant so many rounds anymore. You're old. You can reduce. No, I want to chant. That's the thing. Five minutes. Okay, we're calling our 5 minute break here. All right, you've got till 27 after. Okay, we are continuing. Let's see where we're continuing from. So now Prabhupada's defining Vaidhi Bhakti. He says there, when there's no attachment, no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master or the order of Shastra, that's Vaidhi Bhakti. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. And Prabhupada in Madhyalila, where he translates this verse, he gives the example that a child sent to school by force to get an education. He doesn't want to go to school. But his parents shove him out the door and, stick him on a bus, and next thing he knows he's in a classroom and he's, forced to do all this stuff. But when he gets a little bit of a taste for education, then he gets to like it. Maybe he becomes a scholar. He wants to read books, more and more books, and oh, this is interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Now it's no longer that he has to do all these things. A, B, C, D. Why do we have to learn this? No, now it's, I like it. You meet a child, I like going to school. Now he's got some taste. And the same child in the beginning, it's, I don't want to go. So Prabhupada gives that example. When it's, I'm doing it just because I have to do it. I don't have much spontaneous attraction, but I'm doing it. So that's Vaidhi. In the beginning, I don't have such tremendous enthusiasm to chant 16 rounds a day. 16, why so many? But by the order of the spiritual master, all right, I have to complete 16 rounds. By force. There's no question if I like it, I don't like it. Like Tex Prabhupada said. Yeah. Prabhupada said there's no question of understanding. Whether you're chanting perfectly, not perfectly, attentively or inattentively. Shastra says you must, there's no question of understanding. You just have to follow the instructions. The spiritual master said chant, then you have to chant. Prabhupada said when there's quality, then there's no longer any force. Then he thinks, why 16 rounds? Why not 60 rounds? That means he's got some taste. Okay. Now Prabhupada gives an example of Vaidhi Bhakti from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtita Vyascha Smartavyas Chetitabha. This is Sukadeva Goswami instructing Parikshit Maharaj that if you really want to be fearless, because the king had asked, if one wants to be free from fear at the time of death, what does he have to do? So the sage said, yes, if what you want is to be free from fear, then you have to hear and chant and remember the personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada gives an extended commentary on this verse. It's not that hear and chant anything, but it's Bhagavan Hari Isha, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. That name one has to chant, that personality of Godhead one has to remember. And then Prabhupada mentions from Bhagavad, then he'll never be vanquished. Which means he'll be freed from being thrown into the lower species of life for repeated entanglement in birth and death. Am I missing something? No. Oh, also, that this point is there, that it was considered Vaidhi Bhakti, because it's not that the king was spontaneously attracted to hearing and chanting about Krishna. But there was some other purpose, getting free from fear. Therefore, he was ordered by he was advised by the spiritual master, then you should do this. Okay. Now, we're coming to the regulative principles. Vaidhi Bhakti means... Vaidhi comes from what word?
Vidhi.
Vidhi. Vidhi means rules. Vidhi means rule. From that, you know, lengthening of the vowel, Vidhi becomes Vaidhi. So Vaidhi Bhakti means rules. So, okay, Shastras have so many rules. There are thousands and thousands. You know, we're always finding out about new rules, right? Oh, you got to do this on the Ekadasi, and you know, you got to do that on the Dwadasi, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you know, this is how you should change your Brahman thread, and you know, on a Tuesday you should do this, and on a Thursday you should do that, and you shouldn't eat this. And, you know, wow, there's millions of rules all over the place. And it says in this book this, and that book that. So, therefore, the rules have been prioritized for us in Padma Purana. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, vismartavyo najatu chit, sarve vidhi nishedhasyur, etayor eva kinkara. Smartavya means remembering. Smartavya satatam Vishnu. One should always remember Vishnu. And vismartavya means forgetting Vishnu. Vismartavyo najatuche. One should always remember Vishnu, Krishna, and never forget Krishna. Sarve vidhi nishedhasyur etayor eva kinkura. Kinkura means servant. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkara. Kinkara, servants. All the other rules and regulations are servants of these two. All the other rules and regulations, these are the real rules. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And all the other rules are just meant to serve these two purposes. This is the essence of all the rules and regulations. Rules and regulations, vidhi and nished. Nished, vidhi means rules, you must. And nished means you must not. just that you'll see sometimes written somewhere, Dhumrapan Nishedhe, no smoking. The same word is there in Hindi Bengal. No smoking, Nishedhe, it's forbidden. So rules and regulations means there's something you've got to do, and there's something you got to not do. The positive rules are called vidhi, and the negative rules, don't do it, it's called nishedha. That's it. That's the whole rules and regulations. The yes column and the no column. Those are rules and regulations. You got to show up for work by such and such time. You can't park in the boss's parking spot. You know, there's anything, there's positive and negative. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam vijatavyam. Always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is the spiritual master's business. Yena kenu upayena. Somehow or other. And we saw Prabhupada was very innovative sometimes. Somehow or other, how to get these guys to get their minds on Krishna. The other rules and regulations, if Prabhupada, I told the other day how Prabhupada just gave the deity worship, see them. The senior devotees should see them once a day. You should offer them some puppet. You know, the rules and regulations, like any Brahmin would faint if he saw, you know, what we were doing as deity worship. It's like ridiculous. But Prabhupada saw that this is the way to get their minds on Krishna. Get them doing this, then we'll introduce the other rules and regulations. The first thing is to get the basic principle down. So the spiritual master, where so many rules and regulations, we'll find out later, you've got to have Tulsi beads. What Tulsi beads in New York City? You know, what street do you find the Tulsi Wala on? You know, Green Street, St. Mark's Place. So Prabhupada sent us to the hardware store. Not me, I came a little later to the Tulsi beads. Sent the devotees to the hardware store. And they were buying, you know, round beads, and stringing them, attach one end of the string to the radiator in the storefront, and, you know, slip it on, tie it on, slip it on, tie it on. Those were the beads. No Tulsi beads. Tilak, what tilak, you know? They got some stuff from the pharmacy and made tilak out of it. You know, so it didn't strictly follow all the rules and regulations, but the essence was there. How to think of Krishna. How to think of Krishna, how not to forget Krishna. And if those principles are followed, you've got the whole thing. Everything else is a servant of that. And if you don't have those things, what's the use of all your rules and regulations? There's so many, what is that? Shatkarma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada. A Vaishnava guru nasyat. Vaishnava svapacho. You may be a very expert in mantras and tantras, all of, you know, so many things. But if he's not a Vaishnava, if he's not thinking of Vishnu, then he can't be a bona fide guru. And even if he's a dog eater, he can be a guru. The real essence of the whole thing is Krishna consciousness. Always to think of Krishna, never to forget Krishna. Now, let's see what we find here. And Prabhupada said this is actual samadhi. Now, let's see. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regular principles are found complete. Now Prabhupada's going to bring us to a discussion of varnashram. Four varnas, four ashramas, and we know that there are all sorts of duties in these different orders. First thing is that Prabhupada said these principles apply to everyone. It's not that, well, I'm a Vaishya, so I don't have to think of Krishna. Or whatever. Or, well, I'm not a sannyasi, so... No. This is for everyone. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, everyone. What is that? Yata pravitir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanam tamabhyarcha siddhim vindati mam. Everyone can become perfect by performing his own prescribed duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. Everyone can become perfect. So there are four social orders, four spiritual orders, and they should all perform their prescribed duties for the sake of Krishna. What is that? Atap pumbir dija shreshta varnashrama vipagasha svanushtitasya dharmasya sansiddhi haritosha. Perfection of their prescribed duties is to please Krishna. And what is the reverse? Dharma svanushtita pumsam vispaksena katasuya notpada yeji digutim shraveyadi hikeva. If someone's performing all the prescribed duties but he doesn't develop an attraction to Krishna Katha, Vishvakchena Katashi, if he doesn't develop an attraction to hearing about Krishna, then he's simply wasted his life. Simply wasted. Because the purpose is to get this attraction for hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, this taste that we're talking about. It's not simply rules and regulations, it's not simply activity, but it's rules and regulations, activity, meant to focus the mind on Krishna. Where's the question of love of Krishna if I'm not even thinking of Krishna? The first thing is to fix that mind on Krishna. Sabai mana Krishna padavindi. Now, the next thing is that... Yes. Varashrama acharavata purushena pama puma Vishnu radite panta nanyata dosha karana. To perform these prescribed duties of varnashram is very good. But the test is that Krishna should be pleased. By my activities I should please Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes a verse here, I'm forgetting exactly the Sanskrit verse. But the meaning is that if one performs all of the activities of his particular order, but he doesn't please Krishna, then he falls down from his position. I don't, it's not coming to me right now, that verse. But that's the meaning. But if he doesn't satisfy Krishna, then he'll fall down from his position. Or he's already fallen from his position. He may be officially Brahmin, Kshatriya, or householder, or sannyasi. But if he's not acting in such a way as to please Krishna, which means pleasing the spiritual master, there's no difference between the two, then he's striking out. He's a failure. Prabhupada gives some description of what those prescribed duties are. For the Brahmin, it's, Prabhupada says, not just eating for Krishna, but it's preaching. For the Kshatriya, it's protecting the people, and Prabhupada said especially to protect them from the onslaughts of Maya. For the Vaishyas, it's producing food grains and protecting cows. And for the Shudras, it's service to others. But says Prabhupada says actually now the people who are calling themselves Brahmanas or Kshatriyas or whatever, he says they're nothing. Actually such people are without status. They're nothing. They're just in name Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya. Even the Shudras aren't even Shudras. The people are nothing. Why? They're out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they're not Krishna conscious. The whole Varnashram system is a hierarchy with Krishna at the top. And all of these different people are woven together, you know, in this cloth with four threads going this way and four threads going that way, all connected to Krishna. And if you disconnect the whole business from Krishna, you've got nothing. Prabhupada gave the example, you take a branch and disconnect it from the tree, you can call it a branch, but it's trash. So all of these rules, all of these social orders and spiritual orders are very good insofar as they're connected with Krishna. As soon as anything is disconnected from Krishna, it's useless. Then Prabhupada says that by following the orders, social and spiritual orders, one can satisfy Krishna and the whole society will get all the necessities of life. Everything will be taken care of. But then, Prabhupada says, without waiting for necessities, is that there, here? Yeah, even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, people will be happy prosecuting their duties in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave that, there was this comment, somebody asked him, what if you're doing all this stuff, all this service, and there's no Krishna? You know, at the end, somehow or other, you dedicated your life to Krishna. And there, you know, at the end, real fact is that there's no Krishna. Prabhupada said, still it's worth it. Where do I have that? Let's see. I have that here somewhere. Yeah. Some newspaper reporter asked, you're doing everything for Krishna. You're chanting, you're reading, you're preaching, you're writing, you're developing your ISKCON, all for Krishna. But what if at the end there's no Krishna? Because even if there were no Krishna, I'd still do the same things because they're so nice. I'm chanting, I'm dancing, taking prasad, discussing Krishna, associating with devotees. It's so nice, even if there wasn't any Krishna, still I wouldn't do anything different. That's the advanced stage, where that's spontaneous devotional service. Where under the guidance of the advanced devotees, and we're being trained that to become advanced, we follow these regulative principles. And Prabhupada finally at the end, he says that anyway, since the Varnashram is so lost at the present moment, just let everybody do whatever they're doing. Stay in their own occupation, whatever it is, and just serve Krishna. Give the result to Krishna. And then everything will be adjusted. And then Prabhupada quotes that the regulative principles of devotional service, any activities sanctioned in the revealed scriptures and aiming at the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service. So that if one regularly executes such service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, he gradually rises to the stage of pure devotion. I think there was a good comment here. Let me just find this. Yeah, Dhanadhar Maharaj comments, it doesn't mean that we just quickly disregard all the other injunctions that were just going to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna and ditch all the other rules and regulations, because these are going to help us in devotional service. How will they help us? We have to take direction from the spiritual master. It's not that we just find all the rules and regulations in the scriptures and start, you know, following every rule in the book. But we take direction from the spiritual master. This you should do. This you shouldn't do. This don't worry about. This is very important. Guidance of the spiritual master is so valuable in enabling us to get the contours of what to do or what not to do. One godbrother, Pradumna, had one of these panjikas, you know, the calendars that tell you what to do, you know, what day is what. And they have lots of advice. Between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you shouldn't do this. Between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, you shouldn't do this. Don't travel east at such and such time. Don't, you know, on such and such day, don't do this. Prabhupada said, if you follow all these rules and regulations, you can't do anything. There was the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Someone was following Ekadasi. Prabhupada said, that means fasting. Prabhupada said, feed him and send him out preaching. So the spiritual master tells us, this is important. This don't worry about. We'll come to some of these things that, you know, that are there. And we'll see how Prabhupada adjusted them. There's lots of fun stories about, and we'll deal with them as we deal with these different rules and regulations, how Prabhupada dismissed some of them and emphasized others as being very important. The Prabhupada was like the expert, he was the expert in adjusting Krishna consciousness, especially for the modern world, especially for the Western countries, but actually for everywhere, to make it practical, to make it work, powerful, to make it effective, to make it expandable, not just that, you know, 15 super brahmacharis in an ashram somewhere could do it, and the rest of the world, tough luck. But Prabhupada, thinking very deeply about all of these things, made the necessary adjustments. Some things he emphasized again and again and again and again. Some things he didn't give much importance to. So we have to pick up these directions from the acharya and see, from our spiritual master also. In other words, we're reading Prabhupada's book and think, well, this is the most important thing, that's the most important thing. But our own spiritual master, even sometimes this is the most important thing, but not for you. For you it's something else. Or even if you try to do that other thing, you'll never do it. This is for you. For the spiritual master's business is to see how to fix the disciple's mind on Krishna. Not that everyone has to do the same thing. But for one person it's one way, another person it's another way, another person it's another way. And that requires, that's the duty of the spiritual master, to find out the ways and means. Some questions, comments.
Hey, Prabhupada, right, spiritual master, but in a way, it's the responsibility is institutionalized for us in terms of our engagement.
Well, yes, and no. Partly, it's institutionalized, yes, because there's an institution and there are, you know, set ways of doing things. But the spiritual master may, you know, personally look at your situation and say, you know, what are you doing this for? It's not just mechanical. It's an institution, but it's not just mechanical. We've got like this machine and you just turn the handle and everyone goes through and they come out, you know, the spaghetti, you know, you just put the stuff in one side and the spaghetti comes out the other side. It's not like that. It's not just a mechanical process. It's a process, you know. Process means start with something, you end with something by going through some procedures. But it's not just mechanical. Not just that all these same things are done according to some cookie cutter arrangement. It's personal. the disciple is a person, the spiritual master is a person, and the spiritual master sees for this person this is good, and the institution should be such arranged in such a way that it has people who are serving the spiritual master by helping guide those disciples, and those people should be expert also. It's not just that the spiritual master is the great expert and everybody below the spiritual master is a kind of a jerk, you know, who just fills in forms and then assigns tasks and, you know, collects the money at the end of the day. They should also be, the temple president should be a very spiritually advanced person. Sankirtan leader should be a very advanced person. The devotees who are guiding, you know, senior devotees who are guiding the junior devotees, they should all be advanced persons. Everyone should become advanced in Krishna consciousness so that they'll be able to help those who are under their charge. And for you, what, you're wasting your time doing this. You should be doing that. You know, you're just doing mechanical things. You could do something much more valuable. You could do something, this would be more inspiring for you. It's not just the, you know, an institution in the sense of being a set formulaic agglomeration of procedures with officials who see that the procedures are carried out. There has to be life there. There has to be inspiration on the part of the leaders also. They should be, they should, that means they have to follow the regulative principles. If the leaders don't strictly follow the sadhana bhakti that we're talking about, they're not going to have spontaneous, genuinely spontaneous devotion. They may have spontaneous other things, but they're not going to have genuine spiritual advancement. So what are they going to be able to do for the people under them? They'll have their own problems, what to speak of helping others. So it's essential that those who are leaders follow these principles. They should always, first of all, they should always be thinking of Krishna and not forgetting Krishna. They should be following. We come to Rupa Sanatana Goswami. Look at their regulative principles. It said Sanatana Goswami's sadhana was like it was in stone, like it was carved in stone. And, you know, they were, you know, Hey Radhe, Bhajadevi, Kaye Chalalita, they were in highest stages of ecstatic devotion, prema, love of Krishna. But they were following regulative principles in such a way that, you know, we can only look. There's so many dandavats, so many rounds, so many things. The leaders themselves have to be spiritually advanced by following the rules and regulations. And by following the rules and regulations, they'll get inspiration and they'll come up with ideas. We could start a temple here. We could start a preaching center here. We could have a reading room. We could have a restaurant. We could send out a party. We could do this, we could do that. We could have lots and lots of ideas coming from genuine spiritual inspiration, coming from following the regulative principles. And if the leaders don't follow the regulative principles, then everything starts to decline. It either just becomes plodding, you know, routine, or it becomes contaminated because other things start getting in there. So inspiration should be very strongly maintained by strong sadhana. We are out of time. So questions hold, if there are questions that matter, which I'm sure there are, you wouldn't ask them. Hold them for tomorrow and remind me at the beginning of the day that we still have some questions to deal with. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.